Well, good morning, church family. Our text this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, where we are reminded by the Apostle Peter that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and then the original Greek says a peculiar people. The NIV says a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Many of you seem to enjoy the little Greek lesson we had last Sunday, so let me throw in a Hebrew word today. It's the word segula, and it means a particular and personal treasure. And so as we come to the Lord's table this morning, my brother, my sister, if you forget everything else, remember this demonstration that we see before us in the bread and the wine is a perpetual reminder that you are segula, that you are God's chosen, precious, distinctive, particular people. He could not love you more than that love expressed on the cross of Calvary. He could not love you more than he loves you now. You are God's particular and personal treasure. Exodus 19:5, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, segula. Deuteronomy 14:2, the Lord has chosen you to be a peculiar people, segula. Deuteronomy 26:18, the Lord has declared this day that you are segula, you are his peculiar people, his personal treasured possession. And Psalm 135 and verse 4, the Lord has chosen Israel to be his particular, peculiar treasure, his distinctive possession. So we're not saying funny peculiar, we're not saying weird peculiar, we're not saying strange peculiar, although some of us may be a little that way. What we're really saying is, brother, sister, recognize today, God wants you to know, you are his particular personal treasure forever and forever. And if you ever lose sight of that, just look again at the cross. And so the Greek New Testament has two equivalent words for that Hebrew word for peculiar, and the one is the word that Paul uses to Titus when he writes to Titus and says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a peculiar people, translated in the NIV, a people that are particularly his very own people. And then the Apostle Peter, as we've seen writing in our text today in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, Paul uses the word periousios, and Peter uses the word in the Greek original peripoiesis. Beloved, the Lord's table before us speaks loudly to the fact that every member of the body of Christ on earth is segula. You are his particular, distinctive, personal treasure. How are we peculiar? In what ways, you may ask? And so I've listed 7 on your outline for you to take a look at today. In the first instance, we are peculiar. There is the demonstration of the fact that we are his personal particular treasure in the source of our purity. I read to you Titus 2:14. We have been redeemed so that we can be his particular treasure. And Peter says the same in his first letter, chapter 1 and verse 2, and chapter 1 and verse 15, and verse 18. And in chapter 2 and verse 5, and chapter 2 and verse 9, where we are reminded that we are a holy nation. And so in our wonderful salvation that we celebrate and commemorate at the Lord's table this morning, we are giving thanks for something that the Father thought, that the Son bought, and that the Spirit wrought. And so we are set apart for God. And there are two aspects to our righteousness, as you know. When we repent of our sins and place our trust in Jesus, receive Him as our Lord and our Savior, and are born again of the Holy Spirit into the family of God, the Bible says that God declares us not guilty. We are declared righteous. We are justified on the grounds of our faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is sanctification, holiness begun. In the moment that God justifies us on the basis of His redeeming work in the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus is imputed to us, credited to our account. Hallelujah. And that then begins the process of being progressively set apart for God, set apart from all that is grieving to God and displeasing to God, and set apart for God and for His glory. And to the end of our days as followers of Jesus, we are involved with the Lord in that process, where the Holy Spirit of God applies the Word of God to our lives, and we progressively grow in Christ-likeness as those who have been redeemed to be holy, and we recognize that the source of our purity is not self-effort and self-improvement. The source of our purity is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are involved today in setting us apart for God and for His glory. Isn't that wonderful? You are Segula. You are His personal, particular possession and treasure, and that is demonstrated in His initial, ongoing, and ultimately when you see Jesus face to face, the completion of that work when we are glorified with Christ, holy as God is holy forever. We're peculiar, secondly, in the secret of our power. 1 Peter 3:18, Peter reminds us we're made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Peter 4:14, the Spirit of grace and of glory rests upon us. In the Old Testament, there was this energy crisis. The Old Testament saints were confronted with the commands and the demands of God, but they could never keep the law that God entrusted to Moses and the Israelites. They were, just like me, they were perpetually falling short. But God promised today through His prophets a new day in a new covenant relationship with God, where He'd take the stony heart out of them, put within them a heart of flesh, and put His Spirit within them, and cause them to walk in His statutes and obey His ordinance. And so we are distinctive as God's particular treasure in the secret of our power. It's not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. And so we are those in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, in whom the Holy Spirit reigns and releases, so that out of our innermost being there can flow streams of living water. Jesus said to His disciples shortly before His ascension, not many days now, and that which John the Baptizer prophesied will come true, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be My witnesses from where you stay to the ends of the earth. You will be empowered by My Spirit. We are peculiar in the secret of our power. Our power is not in self-achievement. Our power is in Holy Spirit enabling. And that makes us distinctive in this world Thirdly, we're peculiar in the strength of our prayer. Oh, what a blessing before this service this morning to join with 8 men in the upper room praying that God would meet with us this morning. As we've already seen in our little series so far, the early believers learned immediately that the prayer meeting was the place of power, that it is through prayer that we on earth are able to encounter God who comes to us in the Holy Spirit of power and who answers prayer. What a wonderful blessing that the secret of our prayer and the strength of our prayer, enabling us to pray with Jesus, our Redeemer, who is now at the right hand of the Father, ever living to intercede for us. How wonderful to pray with boldness and with confidence. That is the strength of our prayer, that we're not like the heathen who cry out and go through all sorts of ritual and contortion and sometimes even cutting themselves and doing all kinds of weird and wonderful things. And they're speaking to gods who cannot hear, who cannot see, who cannot speak. We are those who are able to commune with the living God. We're those who are able to come with confidence and with full assurance of faith, knowing that God hears and answers prayer. Knowing, as S.T. Gordon said, that prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is merely gathering up the results. We are distinctive. We are peculiar. We are God's treasured possession. And we recognize that more than ever when we recognize that we have been gifted with the ability to intercede, to stand in the gap, to supplicate, to plead to God for mercy, to give thanks as we praise Him in all things, and to petition the throne of grace with our specific requests. The strength of our prayer is the enabling of the Holy Spirit. We're in spiritual warfare. We're not just wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers, the unseen rulers of this present darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan has a strategy for the downfall of every saint and every church. But the strength of our prayer is that we have an intercessor within, in the Holy Spirit of God, who helps us to pray according to the will of God. And we have an intercessor at God's right hand who pleads for us on the basis of His precious blood that He shed for us on the cross. And that is the strength of our prayer. Couple that reality with the promises of God that cannot fail, and we're strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, praying always with all kinds of prayer with the Holy Spirit's help. And then fourthly, we're peculiar in the spirit of our praise. We are a peculiar people. Paul and Silas are slammed into the stocks in the inner dungeon in Philippi, and at midnight they're praising God. At midnight they're testifying to the other prisoners. We are a peculiar people in the spirit of our praise. We praise God in all things and for all things. Nobody else does that. But followers of Jesus do that. They praise God in all things. They praise God for all things. Why? Because Romans 8:28 holds good forever. God is at work in everything for the good of those who love Him. So whether we've suffered loss or ill health or accident or whatever it may be, we can praise God in all things and for all things in the sense that He's not taken by surprise. He's not shocked at what's happened to me or to you in this past week. God is at work in all of these things, even the things that seem to be bad, even the things that we would never have asked for or wished for. God, my brother, my sister, is at work in them and through them to draw you closer to his heart, to make you more like Jesus, to enable you to experience more and more of his grace, and to grow in the character and likeness of your Savior. We're a peculiar people in the spirit of our praise. And then fifthly, we're peculiar in the simplicity of our proclamation. We have the only good news that is really good news in the world. Do you know that? We have the best news in all the world. There's nothing that can compare with the gospel. And the gospel is so simple. The Apostle Paul refers to it in his letter to the Corinthians. And he says very simply in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and verse 4, you know, this is the good news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. I don't need a guru. I don't need a religion. I need a savior. A savior from sin. And Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and on the third day he was raised again, and he appeared to many. And then he ascended on high, King of kings and Lord of lords, a savior perfectly suited to your need and mine. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, we have good news. The good news is Jesus, the one who died and rose again for our salvation. And it's just so simple, but it must be passed on. When I was at high school, I had the pleasure of participating in 4 Gilbert and Sullivan light operas. My first 2 years at Plumtree High School, I was in the girls' chorus. And then my voice broke, and my last 2 years, I was in the men's chorus. But, in one of those, the character sings, if you're anxious for to shine in the high aesthetic line as a man of culture rare, you must gather all the germs of the transcendental terms and scatter them everywhere. You must lie among the daisies and discourse in novel phrases of your complicated state of mind. And the meaning doesn't matter if it's only idle chatter of a transcendental kind. And every time you walk your mystic way, everyone will say, what a deep young man this deep young man must be. The meaning doesn't matter if it's only idle chatter. The meaning doesn't matter if it's only idle chatter of a transcendental kind, my friend. When it comes to the gospel, the meaning matters. It matters desperately, and it must be passed on. There's only one gospel. It's the good news about the kingdom of God. It's the good news that the eternal King, God's Son, became man, died on the cross for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and become the sons and daughters of God forever and ever. It's so simple that a child can understand it. Hallelujah. We're peculiar in the simplicity of our proclamation. And then we're peculiar in the satisfaction of our participation. We get satisfaction not in the world or the things of the world. We're so different. We're so peculiar. We get satisfaction out of being charismatic. Fasten your seatbelt. If you're not charismatic, you're not a New Testament Christian. It simply means that by the grace of God, every believer in Jesus is gifted by God. Gifted by the grace of God for ministry to the Lord and ministry to the body and ministry to the world. Our satisfaction is peculiar. It comes from ministering to the Lord in worship, ministering to one another as we share our giftings that God has graciously poured upon us for each other's benefit, and ministering to a lost and dying world. I was so blessed coming along. I had these 2 dear ladies in my car. One was my wife and the other's Val Kerr. And I just listened. It was wonderful. Because you know what they're talking about? They're talking about the Bible study fellowship. And they were just saying, unwittingly, how satisfied and blessed and fulfilled they are every time they come together around the Lord's Word. and begin to love each other and share each other's burdens and pray for each other. And it's just so wholly satisfying. We're such a peculiar people. We get satisfied by the things of the Lord. We get satisfied by our service. We get satisfied by our fellowship. We get fulfilled when we expend our life and ministry for others. What a peculiar bunch we are in the satisfaction of our participation. We brought together two couples on Friday evening in our home. It was absolutely stunning to just connect these two couples. The one couple is providing IT, dirt cheap, hotspots around the country for disadvantaged people who can come train in computer and graduate from online computer courses and find their dignity and a worthwhile place in life again. Wonderful. The other couple are so brilliant. They have all the know-how to, for example, trek up to Zambia and in an isolated mission station, set up a tower, install everything so that an entire community in that area can have access to internet and communicate with each other. And in Ocean View, they have set up a system where already 300 people are on the net, and you know what it costs them? In their entrepreneurial business as a little company selling the vouchers that you buy for 10 rand and you fill in the number on your voucher and you're connected in Ocean View in that area with everybody else. And they're on Wi-Fi and internet at about a thousandth of the price that you and I are being ripped off for by Vodacom and Mnet and company. And wow, just to bring these two people together and to see how they can link together in their ministry to help the disadvantaged who cannot afford what you and I can afford, and they're able to provide it dirt cheap. Pray for them, because they're up against the big ones. But the government is taking a look at their proposals. And, you know, we don't want them to put Vodacom and M-Web and so on out of business. But, you know, that's how cheaply you can actually provide dignity and knowledge and a chance of life for people who are so disadvantaged. We're peculiar in the satisfaction of our participation. We get so excited about things that God can do. And then finally, we're peculiar in the sincerity of our passion, because in the final analysis, it's all about love. And the love of God, Romans 5:5, is flash flooded into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. The late neo-Orthodox theologian Dr. Karl Barth addressed a great audience of mainly theological students. And at the end, in question time, one got up and said, "Dr. Barth, what is the most profound theological truth that you have learned?" Dr. Barth said, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." We're peculiar in the sincerity of our passion. We're here because we're passionate about God. We're here because we're passionate about the Lord's church that Christ loved and gave himself up for. We're here because we're passionate about one another growing to maturity in Jesus. We're here because we're passionate about a lost and dying world outside, and we know that Christ is the only answer, and we are passionate about sharing with everyone who will listen. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're so grateful this morning for this reminder at your table that we are your particular, personal, treasured possession. And with all our heart, we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen.